gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to St. Matthew from the 25th chapter, verses 31 through 40. It is the story of the sheep and the goats. I'm going to read you this morning about the sheep. I don't like to read the goats one, so I urge you to read it this coming week and just kind of compare the goats and the sheep together. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels are with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations shall be gathered before him, and he will separate the peoples from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of time. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And the king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of these of the least, what you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Blueberry pie with ice cream and whipped cream. Stuffed baked lobster. Filet mignon. Chocolate cake. Brussels sprouts. Whoops. How did that get in there? Actually, that's one of my favorite foods. I just can't eat it anymore. Have you ever been hungry? Really hungry? I mean hungry with no food to eat. Many years ago, during the first Gulf War, a pastor friend of mine and I decided we would fast for 2 days. And we managed to do that. I have to confess, I drank a little juice and one cup of coffee during the 2 days. But I never felt hungry. You see, there's a difference between kind of a gnawing feeling in our stomachs because we haven't eaten in the past 6 hours than being hungry. Hungry means you haven't eaten for 2 or 3 or 4 days or a week, and there's nothing to eat. I was thinking about that last week when Darlene was doing her sermon on hunger with children and so forth, but she did very well and very compassionately, I must admit. But hunger is present in more than just children. Hunger is present everywhere. Everywhere there are people who are hungry or on the verge of being hungry. When I was young, probably 10, 11 years old, My brother and I have been playing baseball all morning. It was in the summertime. We went back home to get something for lunch. And we couldn't find anything to eat. Well, that's not quite true. There was plenty to eat, but we couldn't find anything we wanted to eat. So we thought we were really deprived, and we were really hungry. But that's not really what hunger is. Going a couple of days, knowing that you'll have food at the end of that time, is not really hunger. Hunger is going a couple of days and wondering where the next meal is going to come from. Jesus said, "When I was hungry, you fed me. When I didn't have any clothes, you clothed me. When I was outside, you invited me in." Back in 1985, approximately, I was a pastor of the Northborough Eddington United Methodist Church. And Carolyn and I and the two boys decided we would go to McDonald's and we would have whatever it was everyone liked. That was before McDonald's was remodeled, and the dumpster used to set on the side where you drove through near the front of McDonald's. And we were sitting there, I was eating a burger and fries, I don't remember what everyone else had, and looked over and there was a young woman walking by the dumpster. And she was walking like she was terrified, looking around constantly, making sure no one saw her. And she walked over to the dumpster and she fished around inside for a while. And she took out part of a bag of French fries and started eating them. There were French fries on the ground and the seagulls were eating those. And that was okay. But as soon as the woman went to the dumpster and grabbed some French fries and started eating them, a man came out of the building and chased her away. It was bad for business to see people eating out of the dumpster. I was angry, not only at the man who came out, but I was angry at myself because I didn't get out of the car and give her my French fries and my hamburger. She was hungry, you could tell. Hunger affects a huge percentage of our world today. And we think mostly of people who are hungry living in foreign third world countries. But that's not the only place people are hungry. People are hungry in Ellsworth. People are hungry in Holden, where we live. People are hungry in Bangor and Brewer. And I know firsthand, after living in Washington County for 5 years as I pastored the Baileyville United Methodist Church, people are hungry in Washington County. It's the poorest county in our state. It becomes difficult to understand. We really don't understand hunger. Because we look around and we see people who are hungry, but somehow manage to find money for alcohol and drugs. We see people who are hungry that don't have jobs, and we know there are jobs available. Especially now, everywhere you go, there's a sign that says, "Now hiring." But we don't understand the culture of the people who are hungry and what's led them to that position. Did you know there could be 10 jobs open, and if you are homeless, you can't get one of those jobs because you don't have an address? No one's going to hire you if you don't have an address, and they're probably not going to hire you if you don't have a phone, because they may need to reach you. And I can understand that, but it makes it difficult. So how do we help? What do we do? How do we understand? When we really can't conceive what hunger is. We might come home, go into the house and think, I'd really like some ice cream, and we go to the freezer and there's nothing there. And we convince ourselves that we're hungry. We're more hungry and there's nothing else to eat but ice cream. So what are we going to do? But that's not what hunger is. That's just what desire is. That's just what you want to eat. We don't always have what we want to eat, but we usually have something to eat. And there are some people who don't have anything to eat. I'm sure you've all seen on television the ads where that show the starving children and the bones sticking out in their out in places where they shouldn't be sticking out. And you can tell they're starving. And we can't feed them all. This group of people can't feed the whole world. But you're making progress in your own community. You work with the food cupboard. You provide what food you can. And that helps. But the only thing that's going to really help is if the world understands Jesus' words, when I was hungry, you fed me. How are we going to feed people? Well, there is food. It's a matter of getting people. And I suppose it's a matter of getting the food to the right food to the right people. Back in the 50s, there was a time in a couple of the Caribbean islands, people were starving to death. And this boat from Canada was filled with beans to take to the Caribbean to feed people. And guess what? The people wouldn't eat them. They would eat black beans. Very complicated process. All we can do is try. We can hope to hear God's words in the words of Jesus. When I was hungry, you fed me. How are we going to do that? I don't know. I think it's by trying to understand why people are hungry and trying to fix the roots of hunger as best we can. We can work with our food cupboard and provide band-aids for short term. And we do that so people won't fall fainting in the streets, hopefully, from hunger. But that doesn't fix the whole problem. See, I'm convinced the only way the problem can be fixed, if you will, it's by the people of God showing their love from God, responding to those who have less. And it might also involve housing and clothing for those who just can't do it for themselves. Now that's kind of a sad story and message this morning, but it's the message of the gospel. And there is, how shall we say this? There is, in the second half of that passage, the goats part, a warning. What will happen if we don't somehow manage to feed and clothe? You know, in the Old Testament, we read over and over and over again how one of the responsibilities of the people of God is to feed the widows and the children. And I bet you can find that 30 times or more in the Old Testament. It's a major responsibility, the Hebrew nation believed, that the the widows and the children needed to be fed. There are other people that need to be fed too. And then there are no those that need to be fed by the Word of God. And perhaps we're not doing as well in that category either as we might. I know sometimes we're fearful to remind people that the Word of God can help them, that a strong faith can help them move from day to day, that the presence of God in their lives is really, really the most significant thing that can happen. These people are hungry, hungry for spiritual things, and we can help with that as well. So as you go through this week, and if you get a chance to read the part about the goats, don't be too worried, but just worried enough to keep doing what we're doing and to add a little bit more so that a few more people can be fed, a few more people can be clothed, a few more people can be housed in Jesus' name, because we are God's people and we bear Christ's name. You know, Christian is not the correct pronunciation of those letters. It's Christians. We are Christians, followers of Christ. And God will help us do what we need to do. Let's be in the spirit of prayer. Ever living God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the wonders of your love. We thank you for your word and the message it brings to us. Help us, O Lord, to help others, to care for others. In Jesus' name, amen.